Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Fastlane on 101 ESPN with Brad Thompson and Chris Ron, Jim Anthony Salter. Let's head to the Brown and Crouman Celebrity Line. We're joined now by Kyle Glazer of the National League. He's the national writer for Baseball America. Kyle, how you doing today?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. Appreciate you joining us. So your first reaction to Theo Epstein stepping away, I'm sure you're probably not too surprised considering that he was going to leave next October anyways. But why do you think he decided to step away now?
Yeah, I mean, he talked about the Cubs are looking to make some moves that are going to kind of steer the franchise into the 2020s. They have some tough decisions to make. Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Kyle Schwarber, those guys are all free agents after the 2021 season, and there's been a lot of discussion about the Cubs moving some of those guys, making moves, and it makes sense. You know, you don't want the guy trading them away to then leave the next year. It makes more sense for someone who's going to be in the organization for the next 4, 5, 6 years to be the one to make these trades to make sure the Cubs are getting exactly who they want for their future moving forward. He didn't want to leave someone else, the guys he acquired.
Kyle, that being said, with all the financial, just the overall landscape, we don't know what the heck's going to happen next year. We don't know if we're going to have fans in the stands. We don't know how much money teams are going to be make. So with that So with that being said, do you think that teams are going to be clinging to their prospects more than they ever have in the past? So trading off a piece or multiple pieces for a team, do you think it'll be more difficult for the Cubs?
Potentially, there's no question. You're going to see a lot of very, very good major league players get non-tendered. The non-tender deadline is December 2nd. And yeah, there's no question. Teams are going to be looking for, you know, cheap performance, and you get that first and foremost from your prospects. So it could be, but at the same time, all it takes is one or two teams. You know, maybe it's the Mets, maybe it's the White Sox, maybe it's someone else who sees a window of opportunity and wants to win. All it takes is one team to find the right match, and you can get the guys you need.
What about those teams that you just mentioned? We all just kind of assume that because the Mets have just been purchased by a guy who's worth a crazy amount of money. I mean, I guess all team owners are. But this one in particular seems ready to spend. Is it the sort of thing where he will dive right into it and get after it? Or is there going to be a waiting period for him?
The expectation and all signals are that they will dive right into it. He immediately reinstated full pay for his employees. He talked a lot about building up an analytics and scouting behemoth, and that costs money. He's going to invest there. You know, the Mets have a pretty good actual core of players. What's hampered them has been injuries and some internal dysfunction. So it's not like the Mets need a complete overhaul. If they add, a couple key guys here or there, this team can compete, especially in the National League East, where, you know, the Nationals might have some depth issues. The Phillies can never quite seem to figure it out. The Marlins were a great story, but they probably don't survive, you know, a 162-game season as a playoff team. I mean, there's no question the Mets can be a playoff contender if they make a few moves. So I think they'll make something. I don't expect an entire overhaul, though.
Kyle Glazer is the national writer for Baseball America. He also looks at top prospects a lot. And Kyle, we're all excited to see what Dylan Carlson can do for an entire year next year. So switching to the Cardinals, the local team here, when you have watched and scouted Dylan Carlson, what's ultimately the upside in him?
An above average, everyday, really good corner outfielder who can hit in the middle of the order, do some things for you offensively, defensively. Just a really well-rounded player. You know, we saw him come up, struggle a little bit, go back down to the alternate training site, came back and looked a lot better at the end of the year and was batting cleanup in the playoffs and played really well there on a big stage. Just a really steady, consistently good performer who absolutely can make an All-Star game or two or three at his peak and contend for some Gold Gloves. Just there's not really a huge weakness in his game. He's a really good player who can do a lot of different things to help a team win.
Kyle, the Cardinals in recent years have kind of shifted philosophy. They've taken some bigger swings, if you will, in the draft on higher upside position players, and Dylan Carlson being one of those guys, and that looks like that one's going to pan out. Delvin Perez, not sure, has not started out like they planned, but Nolan Gorman, Jordan Walker, Mason Wynn here recently. When you look at the position players in the Cardinals pipeline, do you like what you see?
Yeah, there's certainly some players you really, really like, Carlson and Gorman being foremost among them. I will say it's a bit of a false dichotomy. People say, oh, college players are safe, high school players are high upside. Well, there's plenty of college players who have higher upside than a lot of high school players. But there's no question they've definitely gone more toward the high school ranks. They've gone more toward, you know, some of those guys who you can perceive that the higher upside but need a little more development. Yeah, I mean, is it the best position player group among prospect groups in baseball? No, but anytime you have, you know, two impact guys at the top of your system like Carlson and Gorman, and even if just, you know, one of Walker and Wynn or some of these other guys hits, that's a pretty good turnout.
You know, it used to be years ago that teams, if they wanted to, could spend a little bit more in the draft and give guys money way over slot. You can't really do that as much anymore, so that's sort of off the table now. How does a team like the Dodgers, who is consistently not drafting at the very top of the draft, how does a team like that continually get the really good talent? What are they doing better than other teams are doing?
They have one of the largest and most experienced scouting staffs, as well as one of the largest and most experienced analytics staff. They blend the two, I think, better than any other organization in baseball. And then they just have some of the, you know, the financial resources they have allows them to really, really, again, it's from hiring more people to being able to get more looks at guys. There's a lot of inherent advantages with their market size, and then they just use that money really, really well in terms of hiring the right people and prioritizing the right things in their scouting.
So in comparison to that, what do the Cardinals do? How do they do it, and how can they do it better?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think it really just comes down to people. You know, you look and see, okay, who are scouts? How are they performing? You know, you kind of evaluate it like players. I will say the Cardinals have not by any means done a poor job. I mean, in terms of homegrown talent, the Cardinals have actually been one of the best in baseball over the last decade. The issue is they've traded some of their guys, and they've been on the losing end of some of these trades, you know, with Marco Gonzalez or Luke Voit, or some of these other trades. They actually draft incredibly well. It's just some of the decisions and trades have not been great. You know, the Randy Arozarena trade obviously did not look great in October. John Mozeliak came right out and owned it, said, you know, that's on me. We need to know our own players, and we're going to reassess how we do things, which is exactly the right response. I think it would have been a red flag if he said, oh, we trust our process. They realize they made a mistake, and they're going to evaluate it, and that's what all good organizations do.
Hey, Kyle, you mentioned the scouting and how far ahead, you know, maybe the Dodgers are, and they put their money and their resources into that, along with the analytics, obviously, and every team is trying to blend the two. But I'm starting to get the feeling that scouting is losing its luster. Like, teams are putting less and less into that, and I find it to, I would think it would be a huge mistake. Am I reading the tea leaves the wrong way? I mean, I just see longtime scouts getting let go, and I know it's a product of the pandemic and the coronavirus. I just hope it doesn't continue to go that way. How are you feeling? What does the life and the future of scouting look like in your eyes?
Yeah, no, there's no question. It's very concerning seeing a lot of very good, you know, scouts lose their jobs. I think it's something where a lot of it is pandemic related. The good teams understand scouts are critical. What you're seeing is some of the not very good organizations trying to be cheap and saying, oh, you know, we can just do it over the computer and they're going to finish in last place. It's a blend. And the really good teams, the Dodgers, the Rays, who don't have the Dodgers budget, but they have one of the largest scouting staffs around. They understand that it takes both in-person looks and the analytics. So it's going to be an opportunity for the great teams, the good teams, to scoop scouts up. And the short-sighted teams are not going to do that. And they're going to fall to the bottom of the standings. And once they realize that, I think they'll, you know, get their scouting staffs beefed up again.
If you want to file follow Kyle on Twitter. You can follow him at Kyle A. Glaser, G-L-A-S-E-R. Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Anytime, Dick. Anytime, guys.
All right, thanks.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.